Well, good morning. It's good to hear all the conversation this morning. Just welcome in the powerful name of Jesus. It is good to see each one of you here today. Welcome to any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us, and welcome to those worshiping via live stream. Psalms 27, 1 to 4. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom should I dread? When evildoers come against me to devour my flesh, my foes and my enemies stumble and fell. Though an army deploys against me, my heart will not be afraid. Though a war breaks out against me, I will still be confident. I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. When Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, there is nothing that we need to fear. So just come and worship God this morning. Just worship him with a desire to be in his house, to be in his presence. Thank God for his faithfulness and all that he does for us that we don't even think about or see. I do have one thing that we're going to pray about here in a moment. Catherine Martin was taken to the hospital this morning. That's Mary Musser's mom. Looks like she has some fluid on her lungs, and she's going to be admitted to the hospital. So I'd like to pray for her as we enter into prayer this morning. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving and caring for us, watching over us. Help us to see you in everything. Everything that we see and everything that we do, we desire to dwell with you in your house. We desire to gaze on your beauty and fill this place with your presence. Remove anything that is not from you, Lord. Lord, I lift up Catherine Martin to you. You know exactly what is going on in her body. I just pray that you would bring healing to her body. Give the doctors wisdom to know what to do. Just be with the Musser family as they walk through this journey. I just pray that you will give them a peace and a comfort. And again, we ask for your healing. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to stand if you're able this morning as we worship. We'll also take our offering during this first song, and there's the My Coins Count for the kids.
Turn to you. Okay, let us pray. So, Father, we do ask you to come, have your way with us, come be here among us, and we just ask for your guidance this morning. Show us through this whole week. Show us the way you want us to live. Show us any way we can reach out to anyone among us to help them in any way we possibly can. You show us, guide us, direct us all in your ways, Father. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
See is the battle. You see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see the mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I will fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. When all I see are the ashes, Bye.
thank you that you have already won the battle, and we know that you've won. We don't have to fight it on our own. And just thank you for this morning that we can be here to worship you. And just want to pray for Mike that you would bless him this morning as he brings us your message. Amen.
Well, Mike Wenger is here with us this morning. He really doesn't need any introduction. He was here as part of TNT for many years and now as part of Thrive Counseling Service. So I'd like to pray for Mike this morning for God to physically heal him. He's dealing with back pain that is really troubling him. So if Mike is sitting down and not running around like he normally does, full of energy, and he's just kind of leaning on the pulpit, well, that's because his back is really hurting him. So will you join me in prayer for God to touch Mike's back for healing, and also that we would be able to hear God's message for us this morning. Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit on Mike. Let him be a mouthpiece to us. I just ask for physical healing for Mike's back. Lord, I know what it feels like to have your back hurting, and you just can't get comfortable. And Lord, I pray that you will take that pain away, that you will supernaturally heal Mike. Let him be a mouthpiece to us this morning and open our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear what you have for us. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. Blessings to you, Mike.
Good morning, Bowmansville. It has been a while since I've seen you. It's good to be back with you guys. I'm sorry I'm not 100%, but I am 100% with you and love you dearly. This morning I want to talk about don't feed the animals. And what are the animals I'm talking about? I'm talking about the things in our life that kind of take over and really distract us and kind of take us away from who we are in Christ and the authority that we have, the power that we have, the love and goodness that we have, anxiety, depressed mood, depression, selfishness, all of these things can really rob us. And while I would say having anxiety or dealing with anxiety, I'm not saying that's sinful. But what I'm saying is, or even a depressed mood, I'm saying there's things in this world that feed into these things that we need to avoid and be cautious of. And so those are the animals. And so you know me, I like to start out with like a funny clip to get you guys kind of relaxed and giggling a little bit. So let's look at what it's like to feed the animals, okay?
Definitely send pictures, Dad. Love you.
I don't know what to do.
Turn your cup away from him.
I'm so scared.
I knew he'd be the scariest.
He's eating out of his
lap. Oh, hi.
Did that hurt?
I'm giving it to you.
Do you want me to go?
Yes. Go!
Hide your bucket.
I don't know if any of you have ever been to those drive-through petting zoos. I can't think of the one that we took our kids to. They had these cut-off roofs of buses. Lake Tobias. Yes, who said that? Yes, Lake Tobias. We took our kids there, and they loved it. There was a woman walking around with a skunk that they were petting. Now, the skunk had their stinker removed, I guess. But my kids loved it because they thought it was like a cat. It was very, you know, and so I remember that. But we have to ask ourselves, what is in your fridge? What are you bringing into your life? What are you bringing into your home? Because it's that's maybe affecting you as an individual, your marriage or your family. It's no secret that the enemy is out to destroy marriages. He's been doing it for years, and he continues to destroy that, but also in families. We see the intensity of destroying families. And now we're seeing even intensity of destroying individuals and their identity, their purpose. The devil continues, and he will never stop until the end of our age, to use sinful nature against us. He wants us to feed our fear. He wants us to feed our depressed mood. He wants us to feed our selfishness and our pride, and of course, our sin. The fact is that when we feast on this world, we not only become sick, but so does our relationships. And so does the ones that we love, because they get impacted. Galatians 5:17 says this: the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature does or desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. I want to ask you, what are you allowing into your house? What are you allowing into your home? What are you allowing into your mind? What are your children feasting on? And maybe it's time to empty the refrigerator. You know, it's funny, like at the end of the weekend, we always are looking in the fridge what's left over that we can eat on a Sunday, right? And usually my spinach, I get spinach every week. Usually that's starting to, I have to shake it a little bit to get the good leaves out because the rest has gotten soggy and gross, right? And what do? We throw out the food that is spoiled or is no good anymore, and we bring new food in. Maybe we need to look at our lives and what is the food that we need to throw out that we've been feeding these things, and we need to bring in good food, new food. Whatever you feed grows, and whatever you starve dies. So in 2011, you all know this story, that I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and I remember getting on these medications. I was on shots at that time. And I'd have to get random blood work to see how my liver was doing. Thank the Lord Jesus, I'm now not on shots, I'm on a pill, which is great. But still, I have to get blood work to see how my liver's doing. And I remember years ago, I had blood work done, and he goes, I need to send you to a liver specialist. Oh man, liver specialist, what's happening to my body? So I went to a liver specialist. He goes, okay, so here's the deal. Your levels are elevated. Okay, what does that mean? You have a fatty liver. Oh, okay, so I guess it's because of the medication that I have this. He goes, no, it's because of your diet. And if you don't change your diet and start exercising and getting these levels down, I'm going to put you on a pill. I'm going to put you on something. Oh, my goodness. So that night, at 37 years old, I had my first salad. It was sitting at my plate. My wife put it on my plate, and I'm like, oh. So I started eating salad at 37. Do you know what my diet consisted of at that moment in time? I'll tell you. Pop-Tarts, s'mores Pop-Tarts, cinnamon graham crackers, vanilla wafers, lots of cereal, peanut butter and jelly, potato chips, cookies. What else did I love? Oh, Snyder's of Hanover pretzels, the hard pretzels. Love them. Do you know that one of those pretzels is 160 calories? I never knew that. I would grab the box and eat like 13 of them, you know, whatever. So I started to change my diet. At that point, I was 183 pounds. Today, I'm 150. But I started just changing, cutting things out of my diet. And believe it or not, my liver started to my levels started to come down, and now they're at normal rate. The thing is, what I was feeding myself wasn't healthy for my body. Tasted great, and in moderation, it's okay. But I was having pretzels, hard Snyder's of Hanover pretzels for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I was having Pop-Tarts for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I would always have desserts, right? And so it was fueling a negative effect in my body. Anxiety and depression obviously is such a huge topic, and Lauren did an awesome job of covering a lot of it. But I want to look at the scriptures, first of all. I'm going to look at Isaiah 41:10. It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Psalm 42:11 says, "Why are you sad, O my soul? Why have you become troubled within me? Hope in God, and I will yet praise him, my help and my God." This summer was very interesting for me. In May, I did this workout, which is crazy in CrossFit, and I woke up that Thursday, I started having burning in my left leg, and I thought, oh no, MS. Like it's an MS flare. And I just took that thought and I spiraled with it. And then all of a sudden I started getting severe back pain. And when I finally did get to talk to my neurologist, he says, "This doesn't sound like MS to me. This sounds like it's your back." Needless to say is I started thinking all these things and thinking, what could this be? What could be causing this? So I started to do a little research. How many of you think that's a dumb idea? Yes. And so instead of feeding on what I just read to you from Isaiah and Psalm, I was feeding Google. And I was feeding WebMD and the Mayo Clinic and all these other sites about what is sciatica, what is bone cancer, what is, I'm telling you, it spiraled because one thing led to another. And the rabbit trails kept getting deeper and deeper to the point where I got so anxious and I got so just worked up. I could hardly sleep. I could hardly eat. And here I am a therapist, and I'm telling people not to do this, but I'm doing it. Somehow I justified it for myself. And so here again, I'm feeding fear. I'm feeding depressed mood. I'm feeding the fear of sickness and dying and all this stuff. And the more I fed it, the more it took over my life. Not only that, it impacted how my relationship with my wife, because I isolated myself. I was in my head, and I isolated it. It impacted my kids, too. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, around 3.2 million people aged 12 to 17 years in the United States had had at least one depressive episode. And here's the thing about teenagers that we're seeing high anxiety, we're seeing high depressed mood, but what is feeding these young people? And some of the stresses that you're dealing with today are high expectations, or even low expectations, I would say, too. They're also dealing with parent disapproval or parent non-involvement, peer pressure, drinking and drug use, depressive negative thoughts, trauma and environment, not to mention attachment wounds of not having connection. Adults also are dealing with extreme amount of anxiety and depression. And the results of reason why they're dealing with that is that they have stress at work and in their personal relationships. You know, back in the day before the light bulb was created, people would go to bed when it was dark. What else do you do? You'd read by the candlelight a little bit, but then you would go to bed. And so when does it get dark now? Around 7, right? Sort of. 8 o'clock. But in the fall, it's going to get dark around 5. And people would go to bed, and they would get longer hours of sleep. When the light bulb was created, they thought, this is going to help people sleep longer. I don't know how they thought that, but that's what they thought. This is going to help people. And actually, people now work more hours than they ever have worked before. And it's causing increased amount of stress. And the more they work, they think the more money they'll get. But you know what another stressor for adults is? Financial concerns. Have you been to the grocery store lately? Have you been to the gas station lately? Everything's up, right? Stress is also caused by performance again. And also alcohol consumption, drugs, and side effects of medications sometimes can cause anxiety in people. Here's the thing. Let me skip these here. Here's the thing. People are trying anything and everything to deal with their anxieties. Okay, they're trying vitamins. Again, I'm not saying this is not a bad thing. Vitamins are a good thing. I take vitamins. Some people are taking medication. But understand that medication, vitamins, exercise, even a coloring book. Do you know there's a lot of adult coloring books now? Coloring is very relaxing. But it's interesting how we've seen adult coloring books increase. A lot of people are getting their marijuana medical card. And can I just tell you, that's not decreasing anxiety, it's increasing it. We're seeing the more people use medical marijuana, the more their anxiety is increasing. And the other thing is a lot of people are vaping or using a vape with the medical marijuana or THC. And guess what? They're finding studies that are showing it's increasing psychosis, even possible schizophrenia. It's not actually decreasing things, it's increasing things. But people are trying everything to deal with their anxiety. They're trying even exercise, like I said. Do you want to know why I'm hurting back pain? It's exercise. Trying to lift certain things or doing too many reps of something or recognizing that I'm almost 50 years old and I'm still trying to do what a 20-year-old should do. I'm learning, but I have to learn the hard way. There's nothing wrong, again, with trying to these stress relievers, but here's the thing. In excess, it's going to be a problem. And with medical marijuana, let me just say this. I don't believe anything should be in your lungs except oxygen. Okay, let me just say that. God created your lungs for oxygen. When you put anything else in there, what do? That's your body telling you it don't belong there, right? Yeah, so just keep that in mind. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that we're feeding, I believe, that's increasing anxiety, disconnect in our families, depressed mood, anger, frustration, selfishness, and here's the big one. Ready? Social media. Okay, something that is supposed to make us more connected is making us more disconnected. TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook are causing anxiety and depression to be on increase. Many, many studies and statistics point to the dangers of social media and how the loss of interpersonal connection is destroying us as a society. Our church put out some things in a bulletin about social media, and I wrote some of these down. I just want to share some of these with you. Be aware of hidden motivators in social media, including financial gain. Online engagement is worth billions. They want you. These advertisements. How many times do you say something and all of a sudden it starts showing up on your social media? Did you ever notice that? Like if I say treadmill, I would like to get a treadmill. Guess how many advertisements will start popping up on YouTube and Facebook about treadmills? You notice it. It's there. The phone is always listening to you. They say it's not, but it is. Also, the desire to gain influence through self-promotion. Influence without accountability is dangerous. So many of us will post things, and maybe we'll take a picture of ourselves to post on social media, and then we'll look at it and go, nah, let me get another one. We only post the best. Be aware of common online manipulation tactics, hot button topics that are used to generate fear and outrage, which keep people consuming media content. There's a title that'll be on these videos that'll say something like, "I can't believe what Biden just said." Oh, well, I want to know what he just said, right? And then you realize it was nothing, or it was, I don't know. He said, I want to go to bed. That's what he said. Okay. How many of you know he said that at a meeting? I don't know about you, but I'm going to bed. Well, I would have been the same way. I'd like to go, you know, it's probably late. I don't know. Rapid floods of information can be used to overload a person's ability to think clearly about a topic. We go to the next video and the next video and the next video and the next video, and it just keeps snowballing us. The attempt to build toxic trust through the exploitation of common beliefs, creating a false sense of authority or integrity to gain the compliance of others that is above questioning. Not to mention the constant comparing, competing, condemning, bullying, canceling, or blocking, rudeness, disrespect, and time-wasting aspects of all these platforms. We are spending so much time on screens that we are missing pure, secure, sincere, loving, face-to-face attachment. Attachment is developed in childhood and creates a sense of identity, security, peace, hope, joy, love, and connection. And I want to show you this video before you play it. Let me just say this. This is a video of a mother with a baby just to show you how attachment works. And when a child doesn't get attachment, what happens to the baby, anxiety-wise? Now, we are older and we're adult. We develop certain coping skills, but the anxiety is still there. The depressed mood can be still there. I'm not making a connection. Think of this as a child growing up all their life, seeing their parents on screens and not face-to-face. Imagine what are we feeding for that kid? What are we putting in the fridge for that child relationally? And what are we missing out on? So let's go ahead and watch this.
You okay?
Mindy Christensen is a stay-at-home mom and admits her smartphone can be distracting.
As my kids are wandering around, that I often will be checking Facebook or my email, and there have been times where I haven't known where my children are and kind of have that panic moment of realizing that they have gone out of your sight for a few minutes.
A new study in the journal Pediatrics took a look at the role smartphones play with parents and kids. Researchers observed 55 caregivers with young children at fast food restaurants. 40 of the caregivers used mobile devices during their meals, and 16 seemed completely absorbed.
They seem to be more engaged with the device than with the child that they were with.
The children reacted two different ways. Some accepted the behavior as normal. Others tried to get more attention.
They tried to start conversation. Maybe they acted a little bit more silly or acted out.
Study author Dr. Jenny Radesky says when parents are on the phone, their children lose out.
Those moments of connection or those face-to-face interactions, kids' brains are wired to learn from those.
Christensen agrees.
Sometimes I just have to put it away, put it in my pocket.
Some parents have found a better use for their smartphones, capturing special moments with their kids. Jerika Duncan, CBS News, New York.
Do you have the other video? That one there. Can you play that one? Oh, that one's downloading. Oh, it's an error. Okay. Never mind. That's okay. We can go to the next one. Another thing I think we tend to feed is, again, news, regular news, watching the news. Dr. Matt Graywich wrote in Psychology Today, most media stories involve reports of events, and the vast majority of these reports are negative. The reason for this is that negative news tends to generate a lot more clicks than positive views. We're motivated to be wary of information that can adversely affect us, and negative views stimulates that motivation. The problem, though, is that constant exposure to negative information about certain topics can skew our frames of reference, leading to overrepresentation of potential threats. This leads into the internal influence of overgeneralization, negative thinking, labeling. So when we see things like, I don't know if you're seeing new things as the new COVID vaccine or the new COVID restrictions that should be coming out, possibly masking again, like these news media wars, all these different things, the recession, border wall, murders, drugs, the list goes on and on. How is this going to impact our family? I got to find out more information. It goes back to me searching this summer for health stuff, health concerns. We obsess about it and we search more and more. And no matter how much information you get, it's never enough. You're never satisfied. You can't just look at one story. You got to look at the next. We don't feel safe. So we read more news to be more aware, which causes more of the fear cycle to continue. Plus, all the negative news is affecting our kids and how they see the world and even have hope for a future. And so they get a negative perspective. And so when we think about, and I jokingly say about, have you seen the grocery bill lately? Have you seen? And that can get us, yeah, well, what's it going to be like in a year from now? Have we ever been without food? God is our provider, right? But we take our eyes off our God. Another thing that kind of is in the news media a lot, and even in our society and culture, that's really starting to get us a little anxious or maybe even sad about this, is just identity and sex and way that was created, how it was created is being so warped and deceived. Many people are deceived through this all the things that's going on. The enemy loves to cause confusion about who we are, where we come from, and the purpose as creation. When you remove the creator, we become lost in a spinning world trying to find identity, fame, success is some kind of fake shadow of Eden. People becoming a different gender or another creation isn't reducing anxiety and depression, but adding to it. People are longing for identity and love more than ever. Unfortunately, they're looking in the wrong places. Romans 1, 18 through 32, I'll read some of this. We see the anger of God coming down from heaven against the sins of men. The sinful men keep the truth from being known. Men know about God. He has made it plain to them. Men cannot say they do not know about God. From the beginning of the world, men could see what God is like through the things he made. Let me go down through 22. They said they were wise, but they showed how foolish they were. They gave honor to false gods that look like people who can die and to birds and animals and snakes. This honor belongs to God who can never die. So God let them follow the desires of their sinful hearts. The thing is, people are trying to find some kind of identity apart from a holy God, from who God is. And when we step away from God and we focus on humanity and we focus on human and thinking that we're wise, we can get very, very deceived and very, very lost. And it says in the last days, people will be deceived. It's crazy to think that we've moved not only from I can be a different gender, but also I can be a different species. There are some people that are saying that they have a wolf spirit. I think Lauren and I actually met one of those one time at a festival where they actually had a wolf tail. And I don't know if you remember that or not. Okay, but they were talking about, maybe you didn't hear them, but they were talking about how they're part wolf. And again, it's just, it's very interesting. And you know, there's also people that are just really struggling with who they are. And they're trying to find this, not realizing that God loves them just as they are. And we can get caught up, again, on focusing on our human stuff and get deceived versus worshiping who God is. There's a book that I'm reading right now called Awe of God, and it talks about remembering that God is holy and the fear of God. And when we hear fear of God, we think we should be scared of him. But this is a fear of God of saying, look how awesome he is. And how we just need to bow before him and just realize his awesomeness. And his the fear of God and the awesomeness of him would cover up all the other stuff that we worry about when we can totally just see the awesomeness of God. So I want to encourage you, there's going to be a lot more deception coming. There's no doubt about that. But are you going to deal with it in recognizing that God is our God and that we follow him and that he has the perfect plan for our life? Or will we bow to the deception, or will we get so worked up and so fearful that we'll isolate ourselves? Man, the world needs us more than ever to be showing love and truth and the hope of Christ. Let's not go into our turtle shells. Let's get out and be bold in our faith. They need people to talk to them. We need to be talking to our kids about how do we share our faith and why do we believe what we believe. So important. Another thing are pleasures and distractions. Many are choosing to numb and run from anxiety and depression instead of facing it head on and discovering what may lay underneath these beasts of burdens. In the therapy world, I see more and more pornography addiction, cannabis use, and entitlement chasing after selfish motives and pleasures than ever. And they're used to, I always look at why did this symptom become necessary? What are they medicating? What are they looking for? I don't just look at, okay, here's a person that's vaping THC, right? Or here's a person that's dealing with pornography addiction. I look at why did that symptom become necessary? What's the ache that they're medicating? And I look at those things. So many people, we chase after selfish motives and pleasures simply because we want something to heal us. We want something to calm us, something to give us some kind of peace of mind, even if it's for a moment in time. The problem is we exchange the truth of God for a lie. Maybe it's not even those things. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's TV or Netflix or shopping or whatever, or just scrolling again on your phone. Those are the ways that you medicate the anxiety or get away or isolate yourself. But bottom line is we need to get back to the truth. And the truth is that God is the only thing that satisfies. And he's the only thing that can heal us. You know, for me, getting away from Google and getting back into God, or getting back into just being meditating on his goodness, was a big part of me getting through the anxiety. Me going for walks with worship music was a big part of healing process for me. Me recognizing that I'm not in control of my life, that I can't control whether I'm going to have back pain or sickness or all these things, and I can't control this. And no matter how hard I work out, I can't control those things. In fact, it can negatively affect me. But if I trust in God, knowing that I'm okay, whether in this life or the next life, I'm good to go, there's a peace that comes with that. There was a guy that said, had this idea, or he had this philosophy. He said, I know this thing isn't going to kill me, but if it does, bring it on. Because he knew where he was going, right? I'm good to go. Whether God heals me here or whether I go to heaven, I'm good to go. And I have peace in knowing that God is in control. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. That's some strict verses right there. I want to encourage us today to feed faith and feed fellowship. Those are the things that can really help us get through those tough things like anxiety, depression, temptation, sexual sin, selfishness, anger. We need to feed faith and fellowship. And fellowship is a part of, you know, when you're really struggling and you need extra help, you go see a counselor. That's fellowship right there. Or you talk to your pastor, or you talk to a brother in the Lord or a sister in the Lord that can hold you accountable. That's fellowship right there. But I want to start with the Word of God. Are you feasting on the Word of God? Or is it just a quick thing you do at church on Sunday mornings? You quick open your Bible, or you look at the verse of the day. Are you spending time looking at the Word? Do you read it every day? Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Hebrews 1:22-25 says, do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks in the face in the mirror and then after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. Isn't that what we want? When we chase after these distractions, when we're feeling bombarded by anxiety and depression, don't we want freedom? It says this, and continues, and is not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. We need a firm foundation in the world we're living in right here, right now. And the world is going to shift and change constantly. Do you know in the 1920s, cigarettes were okay, healthy? Everybody smoked. Everybody. It was the thing to do. It was romantic and beautiful and cool and attractive to smoke. Can you smoke in a restaurant today? No. Is smoking still attractive? And beautiful, is it looked down on? It's looked down on, right? Culture changed. It shifted. You're not allowed to smoke near a hospital. You're not allowed to smoke in a restaurant. You can't even smoke in buildings anymore, right? It changed. What's going to happen in years to come when we see the detrimental effects of marijuana use and vaping use? Right now, these are the test subjects. But in years from now, we're going to see new kinds of cancer, and we're going to see new kinds of psychosis and other things. Follow the track. The world constantly changes, but the Word of God does not. Back in the day, slavery was a good thing by the world standard, right? Everybody had slaves in the South. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people. Did that change? Absolutely. Praise Jesus that it did. But you can see again, don't follow what the world says is good and pleasing. Follow what the Word of God says. It doesn't change. It doesn't shift. It's a solid foundation. And God gives us these Ten Commandments, and He gives us these principles, these wise understandings to live by, not because He wants to steal our joy and our fun, but because He wants to give us a successful life. But I think sometimes we're just so silly, and I think sometimes we're like sheep. They just don't get it. And we'll try it again. We'll try this again. We'll do this again. It just doesn't work. One of the favorite therapies I love to use in the therapy room is called solution-focused therapy. And solution-focused therapy says this. Instead of focusing on what doesn't work, stop doing those things and focus on what does work. So you weren't anxious when you were listening to music the other day? Do more of that. You were anxious when you were watching horror films? Stop doing that. Seems like a simple principle, doesn't it? But so often we forget. The Word of God has so many stories of people we can identify who dealt with fear and anxiety and depression and selfishness, but they overcame it by living by God, by following Him, by surrendering to Him. The other thing is fellowship. Fellowship, Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be with them. Hebrews 10:25, not giving up meeting together as some other the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Social media, politics, and worldly agendas have caused believers to drift to screens and to separate themselves from the world. And to just get away from face-to-face connection and engaging in kindness and selfishness. There are people right now that are so hungry for the message of the gospel. Is there any reason why the Jesus Revolution did amazing in the box office other than people are hungry for the gospel? Yes, a lot of Christians went to see it, but so did the non-Christians. Do you know we had a Jesus rally at our church, at the community church, and over 2,000 people showed up and got saved and baptized. So many people got saved and baptized and healed at these tent revivals. People are hungry. People are hungry because they see so many lies out there. They want the truth. But so often we're stuck, again, doing what I did, feeding myself with junk food. And then I don't feel good to share my faith. How many of us are feeding ourselves with junk food, and then we're kind of sick or lethargic, and then we don't get out and we don't share our faith? You say, well, I don't know if I'm spiritual enough or healthy enough. Well, you know what? Maybe you need to get rid of some of the junk food, and then you'll have clarity of thought and realize it ain't about you. It's about Jesus speaking through you. You want less stress, anxiety, and depressed mood? I want to encourage you to turn towards your brothers and sisters, turn towards your family, turn towards your spouse, and engage in selflessness and kindness, and I guarantee you, you will see a shift within your heart. You know, for me, when I shifted away from the Google and I shifted towards my kids and my wife and my God and other fellowship with friends and people I would meet with, all of a sudden I started to feel better about where I was, and my mind started to clear. Another big thing that's so important is this. And Lauren, this was weeks ago, texted me this, and she says about how we should be really grateful for what we've been blessed with. And so often we forget that. We just take it for granted how blessed we really are. How we're sitting in a nice building here with cushy, and trust me, I love the cushy bench this morning. It felt really good with my back, but we take these things for granted. I take for granted, you know, like, woe is me, my back hurts when I sit down. It hurts. My life is awful. I hate life right now. I hate it. And trust me, I say those things. But you know what? I praise Jesus that I have a consultation with a doctor that can possibly help me. I praise Jesus for Advil that I took this morning. I thank Jesus that there are imaging tests that they can do to see exactly what's going on. I praise Jesus for a wife has been very patient with me and co-workers that have been patient with me. James 1, 2 through 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We live in a world that wants everything handed to us. We don't want to suffer. I hate suffering, and I know you do too. We all do. But it's the suffering that really brings me closer to God, and it really recognizes that I can do nothing without Him. We have incredible health care, much food, family support, friends, jobs, houses, food in the fridge, and lots of toys. Yet we complain, obsess about what we don't have, and get so offended that we get cut off on the road instead of offering grace and forgiveness. No wonder we're heartsick. When we don't recognize who God is and what He's given us, and we get so focused on the world, no wonder we're getting so anxious and such a depressed mood. Brothers and sisters, if you know and live for Jesus, you are well loved, and this world is empty shell of what is to come. So we just need to rest, we need to heal, and we need to relax in Jesus. I want to say this morning, maybe it's time for us to repent of not giving God our first fruits, for giving God our second best or crumbs. And the rest of the time we have been spending most of our energy and time on the stuff of this world, and we recognize it hasn't been feeding us good things, and it hasn't been taking us to a place of peace with Jesus, but actually causing us more anxiety. Maybe we need to recognize that it's time for us to repent of our selfishness and our looking just on ourselves instead of looking vertically at who God is and how blessed we are, how holy He is. We've taken His holiness for granted, and we've gotten wrapped up in the stuff of this world. There is healing in knowing and really remembering again God's goodness and His holiness. Maybe you've gotten wrapped up in addictions. Maybe you've gotten wrapped up in complacency. And you need to repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I've got my focus is off. And I need to today refocus my heart on the goodness of God, the holiness of God, and what you have for me. And I need to focus my attention back on you and then also on my family and my spouse. I've been taking them for granted. All because I want to be on a screen. Or all because I've been so focused on the negativity and not the positivity, the thanksgiving of Jesus. I would ask that you would bow your hearts, and bow your heads and really open your hearts. And I want you to think about, is the Holy Spirit asking you to repent, to ask for forgiveness? Is He asking you that you need to do a shift or a change, that you need to do a time study in your life of how much time and effort you're putting on the things? And you need to get back to giving God your first love, your first fruits. If that's you this morning, I would encourage you to just gently, quietly lift your hand up and say, yes, I need a shift. There you go. Amen. That's right. Amen. I want to focus on my family. I want to focus on my God. I want to focus on my marriage. If that's you, just raise your hand in repentance. Yeah, amen. If there's anybody else, is God tapping on your heart? Amen. Yeah, that's good. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for those that raise their hands. I think all of us could raise our hands because it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy for us to feed things that, God, are of this world instead of feeding our faith and feeding our fellowship, the things that really fulfill us. It's so easy to be, you know, we travel this narrow road, Lord. It's so easy to drift. But I pray today, Lord Jesus, that we would get our hearts back to a holy God, bowing before you, recognizing you are good and you have everything that we need. And all this other stuff is meaningless and will not satisfy us. I pray, Jesus, that you would allow us to feed our thanksgiving, praising you. When we complain, Lord, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would remind us to shift our thoughts from complaining to thanksgiving. And Lord, anybody that's dealing with anxiety or depressed mood, Lord Jesus, I just pray that they could continue to press forward. I know it's hard. But Lord, I pray that they could press forward in seeking help, seeking encouragement, and feeding things that will bless them instead of continue to fill their anxiety and depression. Lord, I just pray a blessing on this church. May they go out into the world around them and invite people to meet you. Lord Jesus, that they would share their faith, Lord, because, Lord, we live in a very deceptive, hungry culture, and I pray, Lord, that we would get back to sharing truth and helping people see that you are the only way to hope and peace and joy in this life. Bless each person, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Mike, for blessing us this morning and challenging us this morning. So if you raised your hand this morning that you want something to be different, that you repent of, go and do. Don't let it end here. Take that. Put it into action. And Lauren, thank you for teaching us this morning. It's very important to learn what is happening, what is going on all around us, and how we can help people. So will you stand for a parting benediction? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you. You're dismissed. Go in peace. Have a wonderful week.